Is that like talking to the angels in anger?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Same. That's right, because the angels will respond, but you won't be happy.
Gotcha. So you can be an ascended, happy, you can be ascended, rocking and rolling, and be in the same state of
misery.
Misery. Thank you. Gotcha. Wow. Wow.
So that's why the word has to follow along with this default offering that's being displayed in Bob's universe, in Bob's world.
So not
new
only
civilization.
You got to talk the talk if you've got the walk, or you're going down the crapper fast.
Well, or you'll live eternally in misery.
That's what I mean. Yeah, same
thing. And the talk, if you remember, when you talk to the angels, you don't put any conceptual judgments in what you're saying. You don't put meaning into what you're saying.
Well, you don't know what the meaning is. That's the point.
Right.
You short-circuit the labyrinth of the mind.
Yeah,
right,
but you still
have a feeling place from which you're evoking.
So your feeling would be the word. That would be your feeling.
No, wait.
It can evoke a feeling. See, bliss is an emotion.
That's
so
right.
Bob's right. It's not about the emotion. It's after you engage it, the outcome in your inner kingdom. Now, please know, we've separated. We're merging them kingdoms fast. Just like Bob's bastard babies. We're merging them back to one. We're going to find out who the baby daddy is, and it's just going to be one. Well, the outer and the inner kingdom are merging into your middle kingdom. So it will still have an emotion, but it won't be the emotion driving the outcome of your engagement with the speaking of the angels. Jenny, you're right. It will have an emotional response afterwards, okay? And Bob, you're right. There's no feeling involved. But that feeling place is how you know, not think, how you know that the cares of life indeed have grown strangely dim.
Through a
almost posthumously to know that that outcome was indeed pleasing to you. So when you get in a lather, you'll recall that all you got to do is rinse and repeat.
So I am not in that case, in that sense, you know, in the previous incarnation, so to speak, of what you would once call praying in tongues, you had this idea.
Well, you didn't pray in tongues, you spoke in tongues.
Spoke in tongues.
You pray in the spirit, but you don't pray in tongues.
Right.
There's a difference.
You spoke in tongues, you pray in the spirit.
That's right.
And speaking of in tongues, you would speak, or I would speak, until I had almost, say, like you said, a release in a certain sense.
A clearing. Mm-hmm.
A clearing. So you would know you were clear, you would know you were done, you would feel the release of that, and then
right.
That feeling would be a euphoric feeling.
After you prayed through.
That's right. Pray through. That's exactly right. Or spoke through.
Good.
That's right.
So, Bob,
okay.
You're right, and Jenny, you're right, because it is a part of the process, but it's not because of the inner kingdom emotion that causes success or failure and the ramifications of speaking to the angels.
That's the effect.
That's not an effect. That's the effect. Very good.
Okay. Very good.
And the cause is the person's mood, whatever, that goes through the RNA to the DNA?
At the most basic level or form. Bob, we have to say yes. But now, sure as we say yes, don't worry, that's going away. They won't even speak of DNA once you get to this place. You will have what they call super RNA. That's going to be the new probiotic tickling word,
right?
Is RNA. Nobody even really knows what RNA is. That's just what they call that acid that they think makes replicating cells replicatable.
And it responds to whatever you call the consciousness, whatever you call the person who's there.
It responds to Revelations 2, verse 17.
It responds to the white stone and the hidden name.
That's right, which now we're going to tell y'all right here, right now, it has been named.
Right. And so that stuff, that you're talking to the living water and the bread of life, right?
We didn't say that. We just said it's been named.
Right, but the what is this white stone?
Bob.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we can't say it, but that's what it refers to, right?
Well,
yeah.
Jenny, go get the Astro Glide out. JW feels it coming on.
There we go, Bob. Now
yippee,
watch it, Bob.
Yippee-I-O-K-Y, folks. Here we go. So, now you're to a point here. Okay, now, Brian, on that same thread, now, what other specific dynamics? See, Bob, this is even better because from their articulated questions, which are beautiful, their articulated questions even cleans up even further beyond where you even had desire or wonder to consider, Bob. So,
yeah.
And there's very specific good stuff from the largeness of the interaction. So we're trying to behave, but it's bubbling. So do you have another question about that, Brian, that will help the brethren?
Yes. And my next question was, well, first of all, in general, before I get to my specific question, when I go through this, I'm trying to sort out what is metaphor and what you're actually saying is. For example, is the wind actually the wind, or is it metaphor? Is the earth, or is it metaphor? For example, my specific question is, I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, laid that out, the four corners of the earth were not, as you would think, like they're somewhere on planet earth where that they're calling four corners. The four corners were, as you laid it, four baselines.
Okay.
DNA.
Okay. Now, there's an example of that on the Dukes of Hazzard, down in the section on triangulation. They actually have a circle, like the Earth, spinning, giving the sine and cosine of those triangulated angles that are within those wavelengths that will actually pinpoint those four corners and will also sync up those sets of DNA as you are describing.
The four sets.
Correct. It's both. So the metaphor, the meaning of the metaphor applies to a metaphorical inference. But it also, when you bring it back to an equation, works out into a specific bill of particulars. So with a bit of duality, oh, easy, Bob, we won't tear it up too badly. Within duality, the metaphor is metaphorical, and it's also very type-specific, meaning the allocation of those sets of DNA groupings. Because when you go to chromosome 14, now, chromosome 14 is the only chromosome of all your chromosomes, even the hermaphrodites. Chromosome 14 is the only chromosome that has a cross. It has arms and rings and a cross. None of the other chromosomes have this. So you have to have the subset of that cross within chromosome 14 that you will then have four sets of three, okay, dividing into 12, of how those sprout from the RNA interaction. So that's why that we said that way, and you got it exactly right, and that wasn't metaphorical. But then the reference of the metaphor of how that is divided is for the broad spectrum. Science can wrap their damned heads around this process that even allows this craziness to be. So it kind of takes both. It takes both snapshots.
Hey, Ion, are you saying the four corners holding back the winds are under the microscope in super RNA?
That would be correct. That would be the metaphor regarding that. But, Brian, the metaphor also speaks of the angels withholding those winds that blow until the human creators get their foreheads stamped. So it is indeed a metaphor of the angels withholding this mighty rushing wind, like a mighty rushing wind, that before you apply the blood of the Lamb, Jenny, you knew we were going to get there, before you apply the blood of the Lamb in the ultimate sacrifice, that you've got to have your blood of the Lamb in place before you release this free-wielding wind from your sets of three.
So what is the wind?
Which, well, it, the wind is the activation of RNA through your process with RNA to activate the 144,000 strands.
In through the 217. The 217 is the wind.
No, 217 is the super
sugar. What's referred to in 217 is the wind?
Super sugar.
Yeah, that is what the wind is.
No. That the super sugar is what the wind's going to blow to.
So the wind is...
are those four. The wind would be a representation of those four sets of three to make 12,000, 144,000, 12 sets of 12,000 double helix DNA strands.
So the wind is the process of becoming, of acceleration, or what they call quickening.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. But now, we don't like the word quickening. You're right, but we don't like the word quickening because quickening refers to what an immortal engages.
What an immortal engages.
That's correct. So the quickening is not what we're talking. It's a good word, and it applies, but we're not going to get wrapped in the words. People hear our words, and it becomes God, and it's,
okay.
That's not. You're right, but we won't use it that way because that refers to immortals.
And immortals are stuck.
That's right. And that quickening is when they realize they're stuckness.
That's right. So you don't want to use that. That's right. That's right.
So later in the Bible, when the ascending are in the New Jerusalem and they're going through a process of much bliss and all that, that we call that stretch of going through those transformations, that's the wind. Like the rush of the river. As you move into higher ascension. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what do y'all think?
No.
Y'all got to talk about you. Good.
Yeah.
No.
We agree.
No, that's good. Yeah, what is it, Jenny?
What is the pinging?
Someone fell out. It might be Brian.
No, it wasn't a pinging of exit. It's just every now and again you get a ping.
I don't know what the pinging is. I haven't heard it, Ion.
I've not heard it either.
I just heard it, but I don't know what it is. Brian, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ginny, what is the word wind referring to?
No, four winds. Four winds.
Yeah. The winds. What is the content of the word?
Well, but now the winds come up again.
Don't bring that up. I'm asking Ginny at this point, what does she think the word winds refers to?
What Ion said, which is the four... crosses.
What is that beeping that happens every now and then? Someone hits their phone or something.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah.
Is that someone taping us? Is that the alphabet people taping us, Ion?
Give it one more minute. We'll give them something to talk about.
Right, but that beep comes on every now and then. What is that beep?
Well, it's almost like a tinny chime, which is different than we normally get.
No, the beep. It's like when someone, you're talking on the phone, and you hit a button on your phone, you'll hear beep, and you know accidentally hit something. Who's accidentally hitting something?
No, that's not this sound. It's not a touchstone sound.
What's going on?
Well, I said give it a minute, and we'll give them something to talk about. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, so it's a recording. We're being recorded, guys, so that's all right.
Course.
But the, okay, Ginny, tell me what the winds are. You.
It's the four corners. Just like Ion said, it's the four corners of the DNA strands that are at the three points that make the 12, that go into the 12,000, that go into the 144,000. So I get that. So the
it's what you see
them.
Under the mic. It's what the three points we understand is what the laboratory marks down three things, right? Is that what you're referring to with the word three?
Four sets of three. Yes.
That's what the laboratory technician does.
Will do.
Oh, it's not what they do now.
No, they don't know, but there's one. They've just now found that there's one.
They can't see it.
Right. So you, so what you were just saying, Jeannie, how you defined it is the wind is the procedure that goes on in the, quote, laboratory.
Okay. Now, very good.
Is that what you mean? That's what you meant, Jeannie?
Well, I wasn't saying in the laboratory. I was just saying what Ion said. I mean, I saw that, the four corners.
Yeah, yeah. But what are the what are the materials you're referring to when you say four and three? Are you looking at a piece of paper with three dots on it and four of those? Like, what are you referring to?
Well, you could go by what you see. The difference is that, in you know, you're, everything's subject to the observer. So right now, because they've been trained in their minds to only observe the two, what they think they see, they're not going to see it.
Oh, you're saying the winds refer to 144,000 double helixes?
Yes.
No, the corners of the four and the three that make the 12. That then
in chromosome 14.
In chromosome 14.
Maybe
oh, there's
the
a four. There's a four and a three.
Okay, yeah, so just a minute. The angels. Let's go back. The angels are the ones. Okay, so when you pray in tongues, or when you're praying and you're speaking angel, and you know you're evoking one of the three angels and their legions, you're asking them, give me the eyes to see. Okay, so because of that, okay, in that mind, we've been praying to the angels using our angel speak, and we've been asking them, give us the eyes to see. And in that response to that, what Ion is saying is that that four and that three makes the corners that create the double helixes, blah, blah, blah. If we, you, Bob, Brian, Greg, and I, Ion, AW, were to look into a microscope, we would, because it's subject to the observer and we have that information, we would look, we would see it right away. But because these scientists and all these other people have been trained to see what they see, they're not going to see that. When we see it, because it's subject to the observer, it's subject to me, that wind, that acceleration point, because I see it, now I know it's in me, because it's in my observation, and that accelerates my process. That is the wind that opens it up for me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sort of, but I want to, I'm not sure what the four, the number four, and what the number three, when you say them, refer to.
Okay. Okay, Bob, in the cross, remember if chromosome 14 has a cross?
Yeah.
Arm? Okay. Now, in the in that cross, there are four angles created in that cross.
Right.
It's where it splits, remember?
I now, see the four points in the middle.
That's correct, the four,
that's
the four
correct.
Angles. Now, within those four angles, each one of those four angles will have 3,000 double helix strands that bloom from chromosome 14, giving you 12 sets of...
No, 4 3,000 gives me 4 3,000s, making 12,000.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right.
So that's how each one of the tribes looks like. There's 12 of those crosses with 12,000. You just broke up 12,000 into a cross and the three and the four,
that's
3,000.
Correct.
That's one
correct.
Tribe.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Oh,
now,
okay, I didn't hear the 3,000 before.
That's correct. That's right. It's the way it divides it into the sets. Okay, and that is literal, Brian. You asked the metaphor and the literal. That's the literal. Now, the metaphor of the winds that are being withheld until... The gods are stamped in the forehead. That's the process that there'll be a by default offering to the humans of the earth to choose to interact in this DNA. We will call it an assemblage because you're assembling your DNA back to where it was. It will be by default offering to the individual humans. Okay? And that's what the angels are holding the winds back until, get that word, until it is indeed offered by default to the human creators that are interested.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Now, and that phrase, we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Yep.
Now, when I, that phrase, okay, and then we get into the blood. Now,
yeah.
When you did chapter 4, the throne of God, you were saying, now this is, we're talking about the throne of God, but it's like before or kind of separate from as we go into the rest of the chapters. But in the throne, or in chapter 4, well, actually it was in the chapter 5, when they talk about in the midst of the throne and in the midst of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, but a lamb that had been slain. Now,
yes.
To me, that phrase in four is kind of, in my mind, is the same as sealing the servants of our God in their foreheads, meaning they've gotten over the labyrinth of their mind.
Well, yeah, that's good. But now, let's do one tiny little cleanup, and that may help this whole process. In chapter four, you're talking about the throne of God. Now, Jenny, starting in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And they're making reference hereafter as in the future. So, the throne business is being set up for such a time as this, okay? And this is what, when they were talking about in Laodicea, where if you were hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, then you'll be spit out of the mouth. The reference was that you'll come to the place when it must be this way hereafter in the future. That's what this throne business is set up. Because, see, the blood of the Lamb ain't going to help you until you get to the place of the throne. Now, you can dip in it. It works great for Passover. It makes a nice tincture if you scratch yourself. It's all good stuff. But it won't make a tactile lick bit of difference until you are actually, by default, offered this engagement.
Ion, what's the noun of this? Don't go on too much. What the hell are you talking about? The blood of the throne. What's the noun here of the sentence?
That this is set up, what he's talking about, the throne, it's in the future.
You just defined the throne in the future?
That's what Revelation chapter 4 did. We didn't.
Okay. This section that we just did in chapter 7,
yes.
The meaning of that first line seems to be what the whole Revelation is about. It's all about the abduction of this.
Oh, no.
The crux of the issue, and then all the other stuff is the people reacting and going through levels of heaven of being pissed off.
No. Chapter 7, all chapter 7 does, Bob, is it just tells you what an ascension human being looks like.
No, okay, I mean what we've just said about DNA and the cross and that, that's the main message of the book of Revelation, is about the change that's coming.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
It's what's developed in the later chapters, all about the living water and all that.
No.
Well, what else is going on?
I think it has to do with what to expect in the ascension process, what you come up against in the ascension process.
That's what I meant, the levels of heaven. You have this offering to ascend with the living bread and all that, and the new DNA, and getting 144,000. That's the whole big purpose that's coming. And then the details are different angels reacting to humans, reacting to the new being. No, why do you laugh, Brian? Tell us what you mean, Brian.
Well, in my mind, what we're talking about here, the DNA and the blood and all of this physical stuff is happening. This is how I see it in my mind. This is the part where you're preparing the physical to be married with the non-physical.
That's exactly correct. That's what's key. That's what's key. Very good, Brian.
Well,
DNA,
it's telling you how to prepare.
If you could merge physical.
Hey, Ion. Don't get authoritative. You only speak a little bit because we'll get carried away listening to you, and then we got to figure out what you meant. Stick to what we learned. What Brian just said is what Super Sugar is about. That's all. You do that to prepare.
No, it's not.
What else is there?
The merging of the physical and the non-physical.
Well, to get into those words, we already have more non-physical than we're ever going to have. That's not an issue, the merging.
Well,
it's
most
about the DNA change.
Not,
about the DNA change.
Don't say too many words, Bob, and don't...
No. I'm only saying a few words.
Right. Well, when you say that, Bob, and this is, I went through this too in the beginning, was when he would say, you already have it. You already have this, you already have that. Okay, but it's the syncing up of... up and merging of what you already have.
Got that.
That's right. Plus, the other thing, Bob, is that it is absolutely positively the interplay with the angels. Because if you do not have the command of that angel speak, or if you don't even get what it is or the value of it, and you can't release that your mind in that process, It's not going to matter.
Making too much significance in that. Too much significance. The angels are going to become unemployed, and we'll give them a few things to do with our ability to communicate to them. So I'm saying you're putting too much emphasis on the angels. That can't be what it's about. They're subsets of us. Okay, that's not what it's about. That's not the prime thing. So when Brian's talking about the marrying, how are you going to do that, Brian? How are you marrying your physical and non-physical?
That's what I'm here for, Bob. That's what we're here for.
You got any ideas on that, Greg? You got any ideas on how he would do that?
Yeah, because I'll tell you, Bob, because the thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to go back to what I said originally, is that the communication, okay, the Book of the Revelations is about the relationship between the angels and the human creator ascending God. That is the preparation process, and a component of that process are some of the things that you've alluded to, but the other piece of that is some of the things that Greg and I talked about, like the false premise of time, like power versus authority, and getting into your power and not living through authority, and all those components of that are facilitated by the angels, who you have to go, like you said to me the other night, from having the angels being a power greater than you, to being your butlers. And yes, I agree they're going to be out of a job at some point, but at this point, that relationship is empirical, because if you go back to some of the Old Testament books, like, for example, the Book of Esther, is about a woman in her ascension process who comes into the kingdom for such a time as this, and in order to be married to the king, she has to go through this huge process of preparation. And part of that preparation is the clearing of all of her impurities. So coming back to this whole DNA chromosome 14 strand flipping and all the rest of that, if you don't have angels working
with
you...
What's that beep?
Not us.
I didn't hear anything.
That's the recording, Ion? That's recording by somebody?
It's either recording or someone's handset's getting a low battery.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry, Ginny.
That type of teeny thing.
Yes.
So going back to that marriage preparation, because the bride, the dress that the bride wears in the Book of the Revelations is the 144,000. That's her wedding gown.
Okay, I have an issue here. We're asking about the beep, and Ian said it was the alphabet people. Now he's saying it's someone's battery. Which is it, Ian, or is it both?
We said both.
You're including both meanings in the beep.
Yes, just we're trying to soften this, Bob, so they don't come visit you. We told you we'd give them something to talk about, so just let it be. It's all right.
Yeah, but what's the beep?
You're helping the brethren. We'll lay it out.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, Ginny, carry on.
Okay, so anyway, so sorry about that, but when you look at the preparation of, like, for example, Esther, who is getting married to the king, just to go through all these changes to purify herself. Okay, well, when you look at Revelations chapter 23, part B, and it talks about the angel relationship to your own ascension process, part of that is releasing your judgment, blah, 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 blah. So you've got to have the angels facilitating this process. Because if you have blah, 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 and all the rest of this other stuff that you've kind of alluded to, you can still get crossways with yourself if you don't have the angels helping you through this process.
Understanding the role of the angels in the cosmos is important, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
So here again, this is very good. Virginia, what Bob is asking is, what is the revelation regarding, and it's not just about the angels, and Brian, you're right, it's the merging of the physical and the non-physical in your place of power and what you look like when you get there, and once you come into that godship status, rather than just calling yourself a damn goddess, that's a good start, but that ain't where you stop. Once you come into godship, then absolutely the key then, Virginia, is that you will command the angels. And that's significant to let you know that that is key in this process. Now, to answer your question, Bob, it's about the merging or the coming together of yourself back to where you were, okay? And these different metaphors and type-specific inferred references are the validation that you use in the process of coming into your godship.
Okay, hold on. So you can add the DNA and the other point you said 2 minutes ago to the four that Greg and Ginny came up with. Could we add those two? What are the four? And didn't we say two more themes? The angels, speaking to the angels, and the DNA. Is that in your first four?
Yeah, it was. It was the false premise of time.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming from away from power and authority, speaking to the angels, the blood of the Lamb.
That's four. The blood of the Lamb, does that refer to the DNA stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, it will.
Oh, okay,
and
so you got the angels.
And the throne. Don't forget coming to your throne.
So the fifth would be the throne.
That's right. Got a good pentad working, Bob.
That's a pentad. And so that's what I was going to say, Bob, is that if you've got, like, because you would know, Mr. Quadrophenia, that it's virtually impossible to pinpoint and break down one thing to anything when you're still navigating through all these variables. So all I'm saying is I think there is a pentad here. And so you could say, well, what's the Book of Revelations about? Well, it's a pentad. And
right. Okay, I get that. I get that.
Okay.
You got four
all
themes.
Right, good.
Yeah, five
and
themes.
I want to mention that from what I heard that wasn't really addressed was the merging of the physical and non-physical is an effect of something that's already taken place.
Well, if you've embraced the power of the word, then the answer to that question, it would be an effect. But if it's not an effect yet, then how you affected is with coming into figuring the difference between language and the power, creation power of the actual abject word. So here, see, everywhere we've come has been a perfect place, but they both have a sliding scale of the balancing of the fulcrum of the process. So absolutely yes, but you have that choice. See, humans are so free, they can choose bondage.
Yeah, yeah. So the balancing of the fulcrum, an image of that is the pentad.
It would balance it, yes.
Yeah.
And look at your pentad. You have a fulcrum in the middle, and you have two on the left and two on the right. Good. And those are interchangeable, but with one in the middle and two on either side. And that's the perfect
picture. That slowly. Slowly. One image. Oh, you're saying the pentad has what in the middle?
There are five points in a pentad.
Right.
Okay. If you do them linearly, one is in the middle, which would be a fulcrum of a balance, and you'd have two on the left and two on the right, which would total five.
Right.
Which would be perfectly balanced.
So then each one of those points can take the turn to be the middle.
That's exactly correct, depending on, as Jenny described it, for her, and it was not incorrect, we didn't call sister down, was the speaking with the angels. Because once you're able to command the angels, then you've gotten the other four pentads down. So for her, that's a completion, fullness, important process. Great. Now, for Brian, it was exactly laying it out in such a way of the coming to the throne and applying the blood.
Okay, yes, wait. For Brian, it was the marriage of physical and non-physical. Which, where does that go on the 5 points we've already said?
The throne.
Okay.
The throne.
All right.
That's the throne. And then you could have somebody, and their focal point might be the blood. And then that it would turn on that. And
correct.
So all those.
The blood is the 144,000.
We would say yes.
Yeah, so with these 5 points, that's what the book of Revelation is laying out, right?
Very
correct.
Good. Boy, now y'all, it took a little bit, but when Bob gets it, everybody can get it.
Yeah, that's good. You got the power and authority. That's an important thing. You've got the...
you already
no time.
It.
No time.
That's right. The speaking to the angels, the throne, and the blood.
Right, and you already have it that Greg said would fit into the no time. You don't have to wait to get there. You got it all. So
that's
the
right.
idea of,
and see, time is an added concept or restraint of the fallen man anyway. But it is key when you become timeless.
So Ion's been emphasizing no time. He brought in the power versus authority. We've been hitting at the DNA is on the cash flow level. We've been talking about the throne and speaking to the angels. That's basically, and the DNA and the angels are the latter things. We've just been suggesting that the last couple of months. But before that, definitely the power, the throne, the power and authority and time. So there it is. Is that, and then we could look at that chart that the angels that we got, the pentheads and all through that, right?
Well, with the keys, Jenny, the reference you made in section B are, We don't know what you call B because we just know it all. Are you speaking about in the days of the elect one shall arise?
Yes.
Okay, and will choose the righteous and holy from among them.
Yes.
And the day has drawn nigh that they should be saved.
Yes.
Okay, and the elect one shall in those days sit on my throne, and his mouth shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel. We have a question for the group. What are the secrets of wisdom and counsel? Bob, you can clean this up, but let them have a shot at it.
Well, I would say, I would say that the secrets of wisdom and counsel would be the concluding of the five bodies and the extension of them into the eternal life. So I would say the secrets of wisdom and counsel would be revealing the secrets of all those works, like we've talked about before, that would have still not been fully revealed, that would need to be expressed in order to complete them and merge them into the revelation of eternal life.
Okay. Greggy?
Oh boy, I'm not sure I can follow that one.
Well, go at it from the grits and gravy standpoint, because that's where you shine.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, while he's doing that, if you don't mind, look up actual wisdom, and we prefer one, at least from a lexicographer. We don't care which one.
Okay.
But Wikipedia doesn't serve us well.
Okay.
Now, wait, Greggy, I'm sorry.
My grits and gravy on that is applying an practical application in my life, which is killing that bastard mind and no longer having to chew it up, tear it up, wonder, and come from a place of knowingness.
Oh, okay.
Nothing else is.
And that's great because look at how it's laid out here. And his mouth shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel. Okay, Brian, you got a pitch on this?
Yeah, my pitch is that Virginia's right, Greg's right, Bob's right.
Now bring it into a spiritual aspect of how it applies to you.
Well, say the phrase again, and then I'll give my answer.
And his mouth shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel.
What I say that is what's happening right now.
Good.
Right here.
Very good. Very good. Okay, that's...
Oh, wait, Brian, you mean now, October 20th, in this session?
This session. That phrase is what's happening right here, right now, in this session.
Very good. Now, Jenny, what do you find the meaning of wisdom would equate to? In y'all's words, we won't interfere.
Wisdom, let's see, a quality or state of being wise. Hold on, that's the definition. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment, scholarly knowledge or learning. It also said enlightenment, the ability or result of ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, or insight, accumulated knowledge, erudition, or enlightenment, soundness of mind.
Okay. Now, we're talking about secrets of wisdom. So, out of all of that, the thing that would spark for Brian would be enlightenment.
Right.
But rather than beat that to death, I'd much rather go to what counsel, counsel gives your word definition.
Okay.
Yeah, for Brian, it would be that. For me, it would be the knowingness without
good.
The mind.
Good. The knowledge.
Knowledge. For Virginia, it would be...
how it applies.
Yeah.
For Bob, it would be...
what are we talking about?
What's the question?
Too many words. Too many words. God damn it, you've run off again. And what the hell are we talking about? And how does this apply to what?
We were
making space so Jenny had a time to find about counsel. But now we're coming back to you, Bob, because you always clean it up. And you and Adam Ant have saved the day more times than it's been opened. So
here.
It's all right.
Here.
But that's how you get to the place. It's because Bob, we have counsel.
I'm sorry, this is interesting, because one of the definitions is one of the advisory declarations of Christ.
Yeah.
Considered by Christians as not being universally binding, but as given an aid in attaining moral perfection.
Wow. And now we're talking about the secrets of counsel.
So if it were
the secrets
for attaining moral perfection... And I always say, when Greg says, blah, 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 something happened, I say it was perfect ion, perfection. So if it's perfect or complete or whole in the ionic field or in the ionic kingdom or whatever, the ionic world, so then it would be, counsel would be the wisdom that would help you attain completion or wholeness. And the secrets of that would be whether it would be, would still be in that pentad, I think, ion, because it would have the secret of counsel of the DNA. And
well, what it does, to simplify it, is it becomes the answers minus the dogma. Because
see,
wisdom and counsel has nothing to do with dogma.
Ah, very good. Right.
That's the trick. That's the grits and gravy that Brian would come back to validate the merging of physical and non-physical. For Greggy, would clean it up to make it horse sense that this works for whosoever will. And for you, Jenny, of how the increments are attached to balance the pentad. Okay.
Very good.
Bob.
Got it.
Bob, we're scared. Come on.
Bare your soul, Bob.
Well, you're asking me what I take from that phrase, secret counsels and wisdom?
No, we'd ask you to ask some questions about it. So if there's anything left that hadn't been undone, we want to undo it.
Can you, what chapter is that phrase from?
She used section B. We don't know is
B. Oh, yeah, this is...
23.
Section B was the 18 key. Supplement B was the 18
no,
key.
No, it would be just before that. Before that.
Not supplement. She was saying section, which was... that would be chapter 23. It would be in the first verses, 1 through 22. The first.
Well, it would be, I guess, starting at 15, Bob.
Yeah. And it's actually called section B when we do it?
See, that's what I didn't know, but apparently it is.
Okay. That's what you remember, Ginny.
Yes, it is section B. I can, hold on, let me see if I can find the text, because I
basically,
can't
worry 15 to 22.
That's
well,
right.
Yes, that's right.
15, all right, so this 16. Was not, this is new words. No one's seen them before in a long time. And there's this, I'm asking what was the sentence before?
Got it. I'll read that section. And starting at 15, and in those days shall the earth also give back that which has been entrusted to it. And Sheol also shall give back that which it has received. And he shall give back that which he owes. Now here we go. For in those days the elect one, capital, shall arise. And he shall choose the righteous and holy from among them. For the day has drawn nigh that they should be saved. Here's the one that contains it. And the elect one, capital, shall in those days sit on my throne, and his mouth shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel, in the last line, for the Lord of spirits hath given, parentheses, them to him, and hath glorified him. So that's contained. And then it goes into the lambs and the rams.
Well, yeah.
And that stuff.
Right. When I first heard it, 10 minutes ago, I thought of what Brian thought, Ion speaking. Now, maybe it's not that, but that's my first thought. What else could it be?
Well, there's a little more to it, because once you apply it individually on your throne, Bob, because now you got to remember, as Jenny has laid out here, this is in the angel section. So remember the elect one? We went around and around about the capital elect and the capital one on the throne. Then coming back from the elect one's mouth, then these pouring forth, these unknown wisdoms and before now known counsels are going to flow out of your mouth, Bob. And so when you do that, there's some difference that has taken place, and that's why Jenny was pointing out the importance of the angel communication, because this is the first time that it lays out that not only do you have your physical, non-physical together, you have your DNA, you have all the pentad in place, and this is the effect of that process that Brian was pointing out, or the different variegations of the pentad completed here in section B. So it cleans it up individually, because it's not coming out of somebody else's mouth or coming out of the Vatican City's mouth. It's out of the elect one's mouth.
Right, because I think, Bob, what Ion is alluded to was that it's without dogma. So therefore, it's an utterance.
Right.
So it's a word without a dogmatic or an authoritative stance to it, which is what this, I think, whole conversation is about, and the reason we're on the phone is that we would be able to have that pinpoint reference of what this word means, and then through our own expression of that, without the dogmatic approach to you must or you must not or whatever, it's the whosoever will. The elect one is able to bring forth these words, the secret counsel, this wisdom, that it does not have a dogmatic stance to it.
Okay, so when we interpret elect one as each one of us, and all the way through the revelations, it's you, you're the God, you, the reader, are the God, and that's the message for you. That's a constant theme, and that's not something that I'm too interested in, because it's repeated, and I got that.
I then wonder, is the elect one something in particular in the outer kingdom, in the world of language, not the word creation? Because the elect one in the word stone creation scene is what the point is. You're the God.
It is the point. And those words.
Wait. If that point, I've heard that point a million times. Okay. It's a bit boring about the revelation. It keeps repeating that point. But what's interesting is that it relates to, however, the outer kingdom that we're having now, and the product of technology has led to this weird situation. And is it addressing something in the public? Like Nostradamus would say the elect one is Obama or somebody. You know what I mean? He would relate it to outer kingdom, the world of language. Is that even involved in here? Or is it just the throne talk of the individual God?
Well, the throne talk of the individual God is the point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Brian was coming for, that it's about the merging of physical and non-physical. So it would be anyone who gets to the throne.
Okay.
So that softens it a bit, and that's
why that's the general ongoing message that's repeated all through the Book of Revelation.
But every one of those points always comes back to the clarified pentad that you just did for the very first time.
Yeah, no, the big discovery is organizing. We didn't, none of us had that before, did we? The five
That's
points?
Correct. That you never
That's
asked. That's correct. And this
That's
is
right.
that fullness, this is the fullness of this process, which all of a sudden for we don't want to tell you, but light bulbs are going on, Bob, even for you.
Right. No, the pentad, that's, we were talking, me and Brian the other day, about laying out the levels of seven. But we've actually got to the important first image to work with.
Right, the first part. Now, those levels are significant because those are the dynamics that you'll embrace within the pentad.
The pentad.
So,
that's right. Oh, my gosh, I just saw that. That is so totally right. That is so totally right because each one of those pieces. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted.
No, 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 please. That's what y'all supposed to do. This is.
No.
I'm just here for fun.
Yeah, what are you saying?
Okay.
Yeah, what are you saying,
okay,
Jimmy?
So take it on the pentad, okay?
Yeah.
So here's the five, all right? And let's say that within that, like let's say mine is talking an angel and the DNA and this and Brian's is the throne. Okay, now within that, so put the one of the fulcrum points of the pentad, put it right there. That fulcrum point has seven levels that shoots out of it. So each one of the fulcrum points has the seven levels or the seven lined up pieces that go
out. Are there five levels of seven? Five topics? There's probably seven of them.
No, there's five topics of seven.
Yeah, what are
there's
they? Trumpets?
Seven.
Let's name them off, Brian.
Seals. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, what are they, Brian?
Well, you got the seven candlesticks.
Right.
And I don't know if you would consider them with the seven lampstands.
Yeah. There's the seven seals, the seven candlesticks, the seven layers of heaven, the seven trumpets.
Seven vials? Is there seven vials?
Yes, the seven bowls.
Seven bowls. So we got bowls, trumpets,
lampstands. Thunders, seals, lampstands.
Oh, well, that gets into seven. See, that's more than five. You bring in the thunder.
No,
each have the seven. Each have the seven, Bob. So
I know. What are the seven? That's what we're working out now. Trumpets, vials, seals, thunders. That's four. That's three more.
Right. But all of those, the lampstands, the seals, the trumpets, they're all referring to the seven spirits of God or the seven layers of heaven.
Okay, please lay out the seven for me. What are they? The seven types of seven. There's seven trumpets. Got that. Seven thunders. Seven seals. There's three. Three things, right? What are the next four?
Seven candlesticks.
That's four. Okay. What's the
seven
fifth one?
Seven layers of heaven.
Five.
Bowls.
Of sticks.
And the seven spirits of God. Okay,
did we say thunders? Yeah, write them down. Did we say thunders?
Okay, let's do them in order.
Yeah, do it in the order in the Bible.
Hold on, Ian. Just let me write it down. Okay,
yeah,
please.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me just get a pen and paper so we don't have to keep going over and over this. Okay.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You got the seals.
All right.
Okay, then you have the trumpet.
Okay.
Now, there are elements in these, of course, obviously, but that's okay. Okay. Then you have the vials.
Okay.
That's it.
That's three: steels, trumpets, and vials.
Bowls.
So you're not counting the seven lampstands, seven thunders.
Well, they are within other elements.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying there's three elements: steels, trumpets, and bowls.
Vials, bowls,
and vials. There's okay. three main parts. Then the subsets are the thunders and the lampstands.
That's correct.
Okay, very good.
Let's see what all the, I got thunders, lampstand, what's a couple others?
Well, you've got the layers of heaven.
Okay, layers of heaven, right.
And the Spirit of God.
That's referenced in the Harvest Judgment.
Okay.
I don't remember Spirits of God. What chapters was that in?
It's riddled through it.
Okay, seven Spirits of God?
Mm-hmm.
So we now have seven. We got three and four. Three, seals, trumpets, vials, bowls. Then the subsets are thunders, lampstands, layers of heaven, and Spirits of God. That's like your three and four that you were talking about.
Right. 3, I was just going to say that. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So you've got the three and the four. You've got those. And then you've got the pentad, which is the fulcrum, and then the four points that float around or that go into the corners, with the fulcrum being for each individual creator what their fulcrum is, and that probably actually could be, you know, changing at any time.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So you take time, that's one of the points, false concept of time. Is there seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, bowls, dramas with that?
Well, there's seven layers.
Yeah. That's the thing. When we say seals, trumpets, and vials, there's seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials, right? Are they rings around the issue of time and your problems you have with time? You go through those stages laid out in Revelations in dealing with time. And then you do the seals, trumpets, and vials with the DNA point.
Well, depends on which pentad you've got centered on your fulcrum, Bob.
Right. Whatever one you want to emphasize, can seals, trumpets, and bowls apply to any one of those pentad themes as a fulcrum? Like, can you, the seven seals, would they apply to the understanding of the false concept of time?
Okay. The seven vial judgments, the ones in chapter 16, they're prefaced by a heavenly vision of the power, holiness, and glory of God in chapter 15.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all about the difference, if you want to, this is a stretch, but the difference between power and authority. Because we've made such a great to-do to separate them. Once you get the vial judgments down, then you also get all authority.
Right. Are there seven judgments that help you understand power versus authority?
Yes, all the vial judgments, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep,
because that's what I thought you meant, Ginny, when you said there's seven aspects coming out of each one of those parts of the pentad. The seven things can apply. The agon? The agon of going through the understanding of it or the overlaying of it is seven levels. Apply to each one of those five themes.
Yes, because then that would be correct. Because then you have the throne, the DNA or the blood, the angels speak, or the eternal life or timelessness. Or time as a false premise or whatever.
Okay. So the seven layers of heaven were the agonies, the projections, the needless battles, but trying to figure out what you were in resistance.
Correct.
Those seven layers of heaven would apply to understanding each one of the five points.
That's correct. And those are broken down, if you want to get this too, Jenny, would be with the woman... The war in heaven.
Okay.
The war on earth.
Okay.
The beast out of the earth.
Okay.
The 144,000.
Okay.
The three angels' announcements.
Okay.
And that comes to the culmination of the harvest judgment. Now that would be in chapter 14, verses 14 through 20, we believe.
Okay, Ian, I have it right. So the first one was just woman. I wrote these down. Woman?
Uh-huh. Yes, 12, chapter 12, 1 through 6.
Let's write that in. So the first theme was the theme of woman?
Yes, uh-huh. The woman.
So that was 12, verse what?
1 through 6.
Okay. Then you had war in heaven.
Yeah, correct. That's verse 12. That's 7 through 12.
Which chapter?
12.
Oh, okay. 12, verse 7 through 12?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then the war in hell, was it? What's the other
war?
Earth.
War,
oh,
on,
war
earth.
On earth.
Yeah. And that
that's
would be
in chapter 12, 13 through 17.
Did we do any of this, Brian, in the original Revelations?
Yeah.
It was all laid out, but it was.
Yeah, we're organizing, but the themes were talked about. I don't remember. They were?
Yeah.
That's my boy, Bob. That's my boy. The beast out of the sea.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Chapter 13, verses 1 through 10.
Okay.
The beast out of earth.
Uh-huh.
Is that
chapter
singular?
13. Yes.
Beast singular.
Yes, out of the earth. Chapter 13, 11 through 18.
Okay.
Okay, just a second. I'm doing this too. 13, 11 through what?
18.
18. Now, the next one's 144,000 something.
It's 14, 1 through 5.
And what is that, the 144,000 double helixes? That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then the three angels' announcements.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 14, 6 through 13.
Hmm. Wow. How cool.
Yes.
And then that comes
Ian, hold it. Three angels, 14, 6 through 13, announcements. Do you remember that, Jeannie? Do you remember that when you went through it? The three angels, I don't remember that. Do you? Do you, Jeannie, remember the three angels' announcements as a theme? Have you heard that?
I have not heard this chapter. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I have. No, I have. Yes,
okay.
I have.
Brian, it's familiar to you, right?
Yes, Yes.
The three angels' announcement. That's vaguely familiar to me. So then I have one more, the harvest.
Yes, none of the harvest judgment, which is in chapter 14, verses 14 through 20, Bob.
Wow, so this is a subset organization here.
There are seven, with the culmination being the harvest judgment. That this is fills in some of those other subsets of three sets of seven.
Okay, hold it. There's eight, but you're putting Beast of the Sea and Beast of the Earth as one theme?
No, Harvest Judgment is not part of the seven. Harvest Judgment is the completion of those previous seven.
Oh, yeah, because you've got Woman, War in Heaven, and it is seven there.
Yeah, and then, you go to the Harvest Judgment, which cleans all that up for you, Bob. Because you remember you were tickled when we actually got somewhere with all that gobbledygook.
You mean back then when we got to chapter 14, you're saying?
Yes, and then the three angels' announcements. We want to do that just because it's important enough. Bob, you wouldn't have asked if it wasn't. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, so everybody, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, the worship and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receiveth his mark in his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them.
Now, okay, Ion, what the heck are you reading from chapter 14?
No, we were telling you about the three angels' announcements.
Where are they? They're in chapter 14.
6 through 13.
Yeah, so you just read them. What,
so
in a few words, what were in a few words are the three themes?
Oh, Greg's work.
Greg's work. It's all about Greg's work. The three announcements.
Yep.
Well, there was no indication of that in the words we heard. So how does that happen? I mean, I didn't even register it all. I'd have to read it as I was hearing it. But what was he saying, Ginny, Brian? What were the... Was it a more paranoia about something or warning or something?
No. What? It was the correction. It was the correction. The announcement was the correction. It was the correction of, you have it offered to you by default, and if you engage it, great. But if you don't, then this is where you're going to find yourself. Crossways with yourself, tangled up in a Babylon.
Okay, so it was a listing of effects of problems, effects of bad effects?
Effects of not engaging the by default setting that's been offered freely to you.
That's what the three announcements were about.
That's
correct.
Giving you heads up, big boy.
That this will happen.
You could hear it, Bob, because he says, give glory to God who has given you the living water.
Oh, it said there? I didn't hear that word. That's right in there. Okay. So I'm writing down a note. These will happen if you reject the living water. These will happen. I'm just making a note for myself. If one rejects.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting weird echoes and things, sort of. Are you hearing that, Brian?
Well, yeah, I thought it was JW with his microphone too close and breathing. You were picking that up. But then I paused, and I still heard it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I hear the wind. Somebody's out in the wind.
That was you.
Yeah, because it's these super microphones that we got, sometimes they do get it. Let me move it up a little. Maybe that'll help. Is that better, maybe?
Well, the wind isn't happening. It did sound like it was windy, but it might have been your breath. Okay. Well, are you walking? Is JW walking around or something?
Always.
Oh, okay. I got you. Right. So this is really good. Now I want to.
Okay.
Points.
Before you get those 2 points, hold them. Now we got one more little reference point. Don't forget to make reference to. We haven't got there yet, but we will. That it also applies with what Greggy's working on in the little book. Don't forget that. But doesn't
what
mean,
little
doesn't
book?
Mean,
well, is Greggy doing a little book?
It's in the pop, baby. The little book is in the section.
That's chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
The little book is a theme, right? Okay, what about the little book?
That also applies to what Greggy's working with.
The little book, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
so
isn't it fun for Bob? It's fresh and new every single time. He never gets bored because it's all brand new.
Well, I told Brian, I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything until we get talking. Then it comes back. But knew I was waiting. I knew somebody's going to organize this for me, and this has happened.
Exactly.
And I wasn't going to put much effort into it. It's happened with this pen pad. It's now organized.
It's now way together. And now you're going to get to find out how it fits into your chart.
Yeah. Yeah. Why should I think about the background of my chart? I'm waiting for
I'll talk about the
you're
chart.
You're waiting
that
for
I know.
The completion for your chart, and that's what this syncs up for you, for all those holes that don't have a landing space.
So yeah,
there's a rabbit don't get a hole in that ground. Now, you had 2 points, Bob, when we interrupted, so we can go back there.
Yeah, way back when Brian was saying he couldn't tell the difference between metaphor and fact, or what's metaphor and what's real.
Uh-huh.
The aphorism, what you see isn't real, and what you don't see is real. When I look at the world, if I don't get hypnotized by what my senses show me and engage me, I'm seeing through it, then the world is both is, and I can enjoy the senses, but I can see through it and see its transience and its non-permanence, and on that level it becomes a sign or a metaphor. And the oscillation between what you perceive and then not getting stuck in it,
uh-huh.
That is the ongoing drama that Brian is saying. When you have it's half metaphor and half fact, that's what we should always be, the interplay. All of life should be a metaphor as well as a fact, and to wonder which is missing the interplay of perception,
because they both actually apply.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, that's kind of what we were getting to, but your definition layout was much clearer than what we were babbling about.
Yeah, I got this insight, you know, a long time ago from McLuhan, because he was trying to say, look, you guys are, there's this invisible environment. It's the actual television or satellite world in the 60s. It's molding you and you can't see it. You think it's what you know, which is the previous book and radio environment. So that if you have this invisible thing that's working on your senses, he was trying to get you to see through, stop using the images from the past to see what was present. And then the goal was to see the present and then not identify with it, not get stuck in it, not be controlled by it. So that also sounds like the interplay of the outer kingdom, inner kingdom, and the middle kingdom. But the thing
until,
is that,
until they merge. But yes,
right.
Merge.
Until they merge.
Exactly correct.
So even though the mind is useful for the blood and the autonomic system, literacy made the mind dominant. So I'm working within the realm of mind and trying to show some usefulness in using the mind as evoking images and metaphors. And you don't, you're agile in using the metaphors because you don't identify, they're not necessary for you. So when McLuhan defined imagination as that faculty that's not embedded in any of the senses, or any of the extensions of the senses, that to me was the best description of how you live. You know, the old line, you're in the world and you're not of it. But it's not based on values. It's the act of perception. And when people say, I can't tell whether that's metaphor or fact, which I'm always doing with Ion, wondering about that, that very question, Brian, is what the mind should be doing. And should whatever you decide is fact, realize that's also a metaphor.
But isn't a metaphor but a tactile example of a fact?
Right, and because the world's always changing so much, and you don't want to get stuck in any determinant, you remember, you don't identify with what you think is a fact, and eventually it'll be a metaphor for an old situation, and then you might look for a sign to communicate the present situation. And this sounds like in the world of language. It's all in the world of language. It's not your private word creation, which does not care about what's real or not, I suppose. It's not a metaphor when you're doing word creation, but in the world of language, and that brings to the second point, the beasts that we were talking about, the beasts are the world of language, the solidified mortar. Can you go with that, Ion?
Sure. It's very delicious. Unless, okay, hold that thought. Virginia, and what you've laid out, play with that a little bit, because there's a little bit more that you'll give a different twist on.
Give me a focus point, like in the 10
well, no. What Bob's talking about as far as applying language to language as being the difference between the word and the mortar, which we call language. Say what you said again, Bob, so Jenny has a run at it, because we can get to another tier if we do it just right.
Yeah, I found a way to integrate the 2 points. The wall
is a metaphor in the mind that should be weak. But the more you use tribal language and mortar to solidify the metaphor or the tribal belief system or stated system, you lose the individual power of the stones. So the wall is a good image of the labyrinth of the mind. I think Ion's even referred to it. So you want a flexible wall. And the more you solidify the wall based on tribal outer kingdom language statements, what you learn from the outer world, I call that a beast. It becomes a bugaboo, a totem that blocks your flexibility of perception. And you lose your contact with the stone creation. So the whole thing about the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, the beasts are the institutions, the mortared thing that the individual person has to work through before they get free. They got to figure out how to withdraw from the conditioning, from what the tribe says is. Like the whole teaching of the Bible over the last 2,000 years is one fucking huge beast. Solidified wall with a lot of mortar on it, and we're cracking up the mortar of the beast of the meme of the Bible. That's one example of something in language that's been unhelpfully solidified. Because mortar makes the wall rigid. You know what I mean, Ginny? Did someone go? Are you there, Ion?
Yes.
Maybe Ginny dropped off.
No. She's probably just being on mute.
Okay.
Brian.
Here's Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, you're Brian. Here.
Greggy.
I didn't hear a bing, but maybe the phone went dead. Because we've been going 2.5 hours. Well, you know.
It's just getting greased up for you, Bob.
I know. So we hope they can come back because...
hear them chime out though.
That's
I
right.
know.
But may just be they're changing. It could be that they're just changing phones and still on. That happens sometimes. Okay, Brian. Now, Bob, you did clean that up. That's well cleaned up because it gives a practical application to almost a tactile expression. But yet, you took the tactility out of it and made an application that you can use to sieve and clean up any element in any portion of the metaphor reference, Brian, that he's talking about, plus the practical application of the what the metaphor is metaphorically referring to.
Yeah, so, well, do you think one of the meanings for beast would be the mortar in tribal language?
Well, we don't want to get that far down the rabbit hole. That's a point, and it's okay, but... if we develop it, then that's going to start affecting the new song.
Okay, so what is the beast out of the sea?
Well, that's just okay. You got to go back to chapter 14, Bob.
Yeah.
Verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne. There's Brian's throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Okay? So that's the point when you start applying it. You are correct. There's no way around that. But we don't want to activate or develop it from that standpoint because the beasts become a very minor bit of gosh, it even takes the tactility out of the beast and the reference to the beast because they'll be almost a non-issue once you get into the point where you've learned, as it were, a new song.
And okay? That's okay. That's useful that they become a non-issue?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because there they are.
That sounds like the exit. That was the exit sound?
We're back.
Oh, okay,
back.
Good. Okay, so we can.
We were dancing about Bob's experience and words, which were good, but we didn't want to develop them as far as giving reference to the beast with what Bob was drawing a parallel to. And we went to chapter 14, verse 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. So that's why we didn't want to elaborate it and say, yes, Bob, the reference of metaphor as the beast and the wall and the mortar is the beast, because in 2.3 seconds, it'll all be wished away.
So, right, but Ion, that's what the more. Now, is that an entrance? That must be a second entrance.
Okay, it's me.
Oh, okay. You.
So you came in separate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're on cell phones now.
Ion, the beast would fall away just like your concern with tribal language would fall away.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the reference, the story that's coming with the Tower of Babel. That's exactly right, Bob, but see, you ain't to there yet. But they lay it out here, prepping you for that. So that's exactly correct. Very good. And when we get to Ezekiel, that's going to clean that up even more, and I wouldn't even care if we even play with Enoch a little bit. That's okay. But you see...
Okay, so you don't need to give too much commentary about the wonderful things coming. You know, that just takes extra thing. Ginny, we were talking about chapter 14, verse 3, and we read it, but I just want to tell you and Greg that it would be approximately...
Before you do that, Bob, you better see who fell out.
Well, I think that was actually Greg's home phone hanging up, finally.
That's why we didn't get the ding out while you were catching in there. Good, okay, that's great.
So okay. Greg is here.
Yep.
Okay. For when you re-listen to this, it would be at the hour and a half, 90-minute mark. You see, we started at... Now, what's that?
Greg.
That was me beeping back in, but they said there was 5 participants in here before I came in, Bob.
Oh,
that's because your phone didn't hang up before, Greg.
Right.
Okay.
Your home phone was still online because we didn't hear you beep out until you were gone.
Well, we can ask Ion, is there anybody in here?
We just said there are 5 total because his home phone has...
Oh, I know. But we could always ask you, is there someone lurking in here?
No, only the 5.
But there is people listening and taping us.
Well, sort of, yeah. They come and go, Bob, now.
Right. Okay, so I just want to say we started at 1:45. So you go to 3:45 is 2 hours. So the 2-hour and 25-minute mark approximately is when you guys went out. So if you want to hear what we said, make a note that you go to the 2-hour, 22-minute mark approximately, then you'll know you missed about 10 minutes, okay?
Well, maybe not even that much.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he cleaned up the mortar, wall, stone, word thing, but we were asking Ginny Bell her take on it to get to the next tier. Bob did a good job of cleaning it up amazingly all by himself, but what other take of that aspect do you pull from that, Ginny?
I was going to say, Bob, I thought it was amazing that you did clean it up as well as you did even before I got off the phone, because you came to your own conclusion about the difference between language and the word. And so I thought that was great, and the only thing that I would say beyond that is that the word is the utterance of the ascending ascension, that elect one, who is uttering out that wisdom and that counsel without dogma. And
right, but yes, we got the 3 aspects, seals, trumpets, and bowls, and then
right.
The thunders and... These spirals of thunders, lampstands, layers of heaven, spirits of God, woman worn in heaven, and all that we're doing, what is that for? You got your ascending. What's the relevance? And I would say this. The relevance is that Christianity, what John saw was the coming of the printing press and how that would create America, which would become a weird phenomenon in the world and then turn into a disservice as a global empire. That's the world of tribal language. It seems that John saw the world of mortar and tribal language expressed as media and all that happened and technology. And what is the consequences for the tradition of ascending through the power of the personal word and understanding how to talk to angels? So that the big insight for me for the revelations was
it made sense why Christianity became this weird perverted religion, or a different kind of religion, or a strange phenomenon going around the world and becoming a huge disservice. And it was that John foresaw, because John saw the printing press and then that technological unfoldment, which led to the people being super dependent on all kinds of technologies now and have no sense of their own power, which Ion says humanity created so that we could then bounce out of it. So the world of language, the tribal world of language, is largely why all this beast and all these levels are being talked about. That's the only it has to be wrestled with and defined and made metaphors and systems, because it's an antidote to the world of language that mortared in around us. Now, am I anywhere near something that's useful, Ion, in saying this?
Well, we're the least of this conversation. What do your other participants say?
Okay, you're not going to comment. All right. So, do you get what I'm saying, Brian?
We absolutely are going to, but we want them to have a run at it.
No, that's right. Okay, Brian, do you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah, some of it. I mean, I'm not.
The main point is coming to your power and no time and DNA upgraded.
Bob, don't go do it again. Find out what part Brian doesn't get about what.
No, that's what I was saying. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Marriage of the physical and non-physical, the main point. But why all this other stuff about the beasts of heaven and all that stuff that falls away? And the war of those that have a problem with all this and go to Armageddon and have and nuke the 911 tower and all that.
The interesting thing you said was that all these things that fall away, and what was going through my mind was degrees of separation. It's the separation that are falling away.
Yeah. How could we fit the degrees of separation in the pentad? I mean, that's definitely the mark of the beast. Or is that, where does that image fit with the pentad? Is that one? Is that one of the maybe the layers of heaven or something?
I would say it fits under the throne, because that's pretty much what Brian talks about, is the marriage of the physical and the non-physical, because you cannot take your throne with any degrees of separation in place.
Right. Right, so that would be a tough thing, yeah.
I heard one time that you referenced that the beast was also the quantum field, and the quantum field being a place where separation is created through this language, this brick and mortar of this language.
Okay.
Okay, so from that place, from a physics space, from the quantum field, and from this languaging of this brick and mortar, and the beast of the sea and so on and so forth coming down. It's going full circle with that, and then the separation. What transcends all of that, as Ion so succinctly states in Supplement A, is the use of angel speak, because it doesn't have any inherent definition. It takes you outside of the labyrinth of mind. You can't get it wrong. You know, all those different components of it.
Yeah, let me say this, Ginny. Let me say this. Talking, knowing how to talk the language to angels without putting conceptual meanings is almost a metaphoric process of how you live daily, of seeing through the hypnosis of your senses and not putting too much significance in it, living without emotion, so to speak.
That's
or emotion.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
always living without reaction.
Yeah.
That's correct. So that is that word of utterance. That's the world of utterance.
And the practical, if you're good at living like that, then you would very easily understand why you would talk to the angels like that. Because they're only going to respond to that perfect level of a mind talking that's not using its mind, you know? And so that's talking to angels is a specified art, like Zen archery. And if you can do it, then that's a good sign that you understand how to live with the never mind action going on. Never mind.
Yes, well said. Yes, yes, yes. Agreed.
Okay.